I said the Lord is good. Yeah, the book of Luke chapter 19. We'll read two portions of the scriptures. Luke chapter 19 being the first one, and then the second will be our Romans chapter 12 that we have been reading again and again. Let's read the book of Luke chapter 19. It said from verse 12, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his slaves, delivered to them 10 minas, and that's the unit of money, and said to them, do business with this until I come back. But his citizens hated him and sent delegation after him saying this and this and that. Anyway, let me just jump down so that we don't waste a lot of time. He now said in verse 16, that is after I called the people to come and tell him what they had done with the money that he gave to them. The first one came saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas more. Then he said to him, well done, good servant. Because you were faithful in a very little thing, have authority over 10 cities. And then the second one said the same thing concerning his 5 minas. And that's the mina made 5 extra. And then the master said, for that reason, you will be in charge of 5 cities. Then another came saying, Master, here's your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief. And that's the fellow we are talking about today. He said, I have kept your mina safe. I did not do anything with it. And his reason, he said, is in verse 21. For I feared you because you are an austere man or a difficult man. You collect what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. And then the master said, out of your own mouth, verse 22, I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? He now said to him, to the people around, he said, take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10. And they said, Master, that guy has 10 already. And for that, he now said to them, to everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Now, I want to just stop there in that verse 26. I referred briefly to Matthew 25 because you see the parable of the talents in the book of Matthew, that chapter 25. Now, quickly open to Romans chapter 12, which we have been reading. From verse 3, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. He said, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. He said, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Or New American Standard, my best translation here, he said, let us exercise them accordingly. If it's prophecy that's your gift, let us prophesy, he said, in proportion to our faith. And if it is in serving or ministering to people, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, let him exercise himself in his teaching and teach in accordance with the proportion of his faith. That's what he was saying. And the same thing applies to the man who exhorts. And then the man who gives, he said, let him wait upon his giving and give liberally in proportion to the measure of his faith. And he who leads with diligence and he who shows mercy, let him do that with cheerfulness. Now, I have read these two scriptures. They will be our foundation for the things that we are going to discuss again today and a conclusion for all the things that we have been discussing for some time now concerning this matter of a life of purpose. Please, let me say it again. You can't say it enough, all right? It can't be like, Pastor, you have said this enough. We have heard it. Believe me, I don't believe you have heard it enough, all right? Peter said that, do I know you know these things, but I must not neglect to remind you of them. What I said before, which is very important for us to understand, is that if you read the book of Genesis chapter 1, the way it began is that God was attacking the issue of darkness. Do you understand that point? That is, darkness was an issue and God was confronting the matter of darkness. And when he spoke, all right, he spoke light into existence. And I said that's what he's still doing till today. If you look at it, you know, I think we discussed this some time ago, that why didn't the Bible just say, And God said, let the earth be, all right, light, all that the earth contains, animals and the man, and in one word, and it was so. You know, he never said that. If you notice something, he took it step by step. Did you notice that? He first said, let there be light. And after that, he said, let the waters move to this side. Let's separate the waters above from the waters below so that you have a firmament, all right, in between. Then after that, he said, let us separate this and separate that. Let the dry land appear and let, the wet land be on this side. He called this seas. He said all of those things. And then he began to create this. Let the stars give, you know. It took him 6 days of saying this and saying that. What am I saying? He took the thing step by step. Now, let me say this to you again. The impression we have is that everything ended that day. In fact, like I always say, if you hear me talk about the matter of marriage, we think that everything that God did was perfect that day. Even he himself said, no, it's not so. Because after a while, he looked and said, this one is not good. I don't know whether you understand that point. He looked and said, this one is not good. What do I mean? He looked at Adam and said, it is not good that Adam be alone. That was one thing that he did he had not finished with. I don't know whether you are getting the concept there. So Eve was spoken again, all right, as it were, into existence to fill a gap that still existed, all right? That is, Eve came forth to quench her own portion of darkness, which was present in the life of Adam. Now, you get what I'm saying? Now, every one of us, that's why we exist till today. And that's why Jesus said, you are the light of the world. That's very important. That is, God is still creating. All right, God is still recreating, and the way by which he recreates things is to speak a word, and then that word takes some flesh and dwells amongst us. And that's what we saw in the book of John chapter 1. It said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. What am I saying? When God wanted to solve another problem, what he did was to speak. Do you follow my point? And that voice, that word, took on flesh and came down to the earth. And they said, what is the name of that light? They say it is Banky. I don't know whether you understand the point. Do you follow what I'm saying? You know, one brother was talking to me the other day. He said, sir, I have concluded that I am the reason why God sent it to Enugu. And I laughed. Now, that's the amount of impact that my teaching has had in his life. Do you follow the point I'm making? Now, I'm using myself as an example. But then it applies to every one of God's children. Every single one. That is, God wanted to solve another darkness. He spoke, all right? And your name was what came out. Do you follow what I'm saying? That is, when he spoke, the light that he spoke in his word took on flesh and your mother gave birth to you. What am I trying to emphasize from that? That is, you were not born by accident. You were born on purpose. Do you follow my point? Therefore, you do not really have the luxury of just doing anything you want with your life. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? You don't, you see, sometimes in life, I look at people. So people will take other people's money. You understand? I see them around a lot. And they amaze me. A friend of mine and I said, look, there's the greatest craving of our souls right now. Is to call the people and say, what do you think about when you are doing such things? Let me give us an example. What I'm trying to explain, all right? Like, maybe I give somebody money and say, please, oh, go and give Bishop for me, all right? And between here and there, instead of 5,000, I drop to 2,500. No, I want to use as an example. That, you see, I'm not concerned that somebody stole money. But what is going through my mind, what is worrying me, is that what were you thinking about? I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Is it that you reasoned that pastor has overestimated the needs in the life of Bishop and you have judged it correctly? Therefore, you decided to solve the problem by removing 2005. Or you feel like this is God's way of meeting your need. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. That is, what exactly are you... Because I really want to understand how people think. All right? When you are taking something that belongs to another person. Now, it's so easy. They say, don't mind. Those are thieves. That's actually what I'm discussing. Because a lot of us are actually thieves also. We don't steal people's money, but we steal God's time, God's investment, and we waste his light. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Because what you have done, for example, if God spoke a light, let me use myself as an example again. He said, Bank, you know what I want you to do? I want you to go to Enugu and teach. teach. Now, I was in NTA the other day. We were negotiating concerning our broadcast, all right? And the lady, so I was asking questions, the rules concerning broadcasting, at least in NTA, let me be sure. How many minutes do I really have? Do I'm paying for 30 minutes? She told me. We argued about that. So, all right, I finally got something that I felt was reasonable. Then I asked, and I said, okay, what are the things we can't say on air? Anyway, she said, number one, please, don't praise or run down any public official. That is, if your governor is doing well, please don't discuss it. If he's doing badly, please don't discuss it. You know, you're just talking, then that you please, you cannot claim that you do miracles. And we're talking and talking, but this was interesting. But now, when she finished, I said, anyway, this was a small thing. I said, I'm a teacher. What I do is to teach. And her face lightened. Like, wow, that is good. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. I know that her face lightened. She was happy, all right, to hear that when I said that, look, I'm a teacher. What I'm going to do is teach people the ways of God. I'm going to instruct people concerning the matter of righteousness. And she was very happy. She said, oh, that is very good. Now, I'm bringing out something here. My experience, all right, in the last few years is I have noticed that people actually crave sound doctrine. I don't know whether you understand my point. Their souls are reaching out. One day, a lady came to me and asked a few questions. I said, listen, I don't believe that thing. That practice for me is not gospel. It's not commanded by Jesus Christ. And the followers of Christ are not commanded to practice it. But some pastors say this. I said, listen, I don't know why they say it. I've just told you what I think, what I have studied from the scriptures, and what I have come to understand. I said, you pastors are supposed to give us direction, not confuse us. I said, look, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to give you direction. But the fact that me and somebody else doesn't agree, I mean, well, for her, it's a matter of confusion. What am I going to explain? This is somebody looking for what? Direction. A lot of people who are wrongly directed, all right? They're actually looking for the right direction. I don't know whether you're following what I'm saying. Now, so you bear all those things in mind. So you can imagine, therefore, when God said, Banky, for a number of years, at least, I can say from 1987, I began sound instruction. That is, I began to receive. I've been hearing the word taught, all right, from secondary school, from all those days. But I can't remember something that was taught in secondary school that I'm applying today. I'm not saying there was no good thing in it, all right, but at least it taught me to fear God, all right. I literally was afraid that God is coming to get you, you know, that kind of thing. So, and there's a good thing, all right. Don't think like God is always loving. God slaps people, God beats people, He kills people. There are people God beheads. And a lot of them, his own children. Don't think it's only the devil that does things. There are things that the devil does, all right? All right? If you go and read Revelation, Jesus said that, look, devil is about to come and throw some of you in jail. So we know that was the devil, all right? But God even permitted him. But there are some that it's not as if it's the devil. It's God that said, I am going to create evil in this person's life. I'm going to punish him. He's going to hate himself. Do you understand my point? Now listen to me. God does that. I know in the gospel of faith, we've said that God doesn't do anything bad. Yes, that's a matter of fact. He never does anything bad. If you behead a wicked soul, is that a bad thing? No, it's not. Do you understand my point? Uh-huh. But God does punish people, all right? Now, so what I'm going to say is that, at least, I'm not bringing up the fact that I learned something those days, all right? But the time I began to study the word of God, most of the things that I teach now, was around that 1986, 87, especially 87, that I commenced learning the scriptures, all right? But I began Kingdom World Ministries in the year 2001, right? It was quite some distance. Now, what am I going to say? All those years, I was learning, all right? The latter years before 2001, I was writing and teaching here and there, but serious, systematic teaching like I do now, I wasn't doing it. But what I'm saying is that God was building something up, all right? He said, I will give you pastors after my own heart who will feed you on what? Wisdom and understanding. That is, these are the shepherds I am going to give you. Now, if somebody is going to feed you with wisdom and understanding, the first thing God does is to give him wisdom, all right, and understanding. I hope what I'm saying is clear to you. Now, so now imagine, I'm talking about stealing. Amen? Imagine that God did all of that. It got to the year 2000. And the Spirit of God now began to move. Say, Banky, I want to begin to teach these truths I have taught you over these years. And I want to stabilize people, all right, in the fear of God and the walk in righteousness. And next thing I say, God, I understand you. But you see, man must make it in this life. First, I have to get money and build a house. Otherwise, they are going to say, the reason why I came to ministry is because of what I'm going to get. You know, people say that. I said those days when I was in secondary university, I also believed this doctrine. That before you enter into ministry, you first go and make money. So that then you wouldn't need anybody's money. Anyway, I unlearned it long ago. It's a very stupid thing, all right? It's a very stupid thing. Jesus said, I like to quote Bishop Oyedepo there. Bishop Oyedepo said that, one day somebody said that, now you are going into ministry. How much money do you have saved up? He said, looked at the man and said, none. And in case I had any, I must finish spending it before I start. He said, because when Jesus said to the disciples, he said, take no purse or scrip, neither greet any man along the way. And one day, when they were going to go out again, he said, last time I sent you out without anything, did you lack anything? They said, no, nothing. Do you understand? I was reading this man's book again today, Brother Andrew, God Smuggler. The other one I'm reading is a biography of him, different from that book, God Smuggler. And the man again was describing how they went to a particular Bible school and they taught them that as missionaries they should learn to depend on God. And I'm sure this is among the things that formed my character till today. Because I read that book, God Smuggler, first of all, maybe around 1986, many years ago, all right? 86, 87, thereabout. And I still remember that they would send them out as missionaries without anything, with only one commandment: don't ever ask anybody for anything. They are not allowed to beg. And you know there are different kinds of begging. There's stylish begging. You just keep going around the point, hoping the person will drive the nail in for you. That is, you're not allowed. And he went out as a missionary, he and his friends, on training. And not one thing did they lack. They did not lack anything. Including when they organized a party for children. Do you understand? That they now pray. They used to ask for everything from God. They will pray. Say, God, we need cake. These children will need cake. And the children, of course, wanted the cake. So they will pray. And they will be waiting for cake. Waiting for cake. Waiting for cake. Finally, the doorbell will ring. And cake will appear. Ah, praise God. And the postman will say, somebody sent this cake from this so-and-so place. I should deliver to you guys. And said that it's supposed to arrive tomorrow. But I guess that since it's perishable, it cannot stay. So I decided to deliver it that day. And these guys have been waiting. Say, God, you know we need cake. And we can't. In fact, one woman walked up before them. Say, oh, you guys, young men, you are working very hard. I like what you are doing with the children. Is there anything you will need? Ah, they want to say, boy, ask now. It's cake. Say, but no, we're not allowed to ask anybody for anything. Now, you get my point? But eventually, of course, the cake came. And the man was trained how to teach, all right, without asking anybody for anything. Preach the word of God and believing that God, all right, we supply all his needs. I don't want to start telling stories, but please read all those books. The one I've just told you now, you can find a story in the book called God Smuggler. It's not a very common book now, all right? It's brought out of print, but if you look around and you find it, okay? The book is titled what? God Smuggler. Now, so, why did I go into all of that? So, you see, God trains people over time, okay? And said, now, go and begin to preach. And then maybe I now come and say, yes, I need to have money before I start. And this is the interesting part. If you form your own ideas, God will not support it. He won't. He will give you, you will have so much troubles, but God won't support it until you settle down and finally learn God's ideas. Now, this is why I'm going all of these things. Maybe I now say, okay, let me pursue money and find money before I start teaching. You know what I have done? I have stolen. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. You know, you can say, okay, I gave somebody 5,000, I go and give Bishop. Between here and where Bishop is, 2,005 disappeared. See, that guy is a wicked soul, he's a thief. But you forget that that God also committed the word of truth into your mouth. And he said, go out and go and establish people in righteousness. You too, you have taken the gift and you have gone somewhere else. And this is another thing, you know. I've said it again and again. Let me say it again, all right? If God gives you an ability, he doesn't instruct, what I mean is this, he doesn't force you on how you are going to use it. He instructs you by his word on what you are supposed to do. If you know you can move people, you'll be a crazy preacher to use it to move people to collect their money. I don't care your motivation. You may say that, yes, for the gospel, I don't give a damn. You are manipulating people, it's not right. And God will just like, be looking at you like this. Go ahead, enjoy yourself, have fun. Enjoy yourself, have fun. Then one day you will get into serious trouble. I remember the story once. I think it was Ndebakara that told the story of a pastor that went somewhere to go and preach.
He went there to go and raise money, actually. People do that. And as he was leaving, of course, they will give you a cut of the money. I mean, they don't have to use the word cut, all right? But if you raise 10 million, I just failed to give you 1 million or half a million. And if you come and preach and you made everybody cry in repentance, they don't give money, nothing for you. I know this preacher, they gave him money as he was leaving. Then he heard a voice, was the Holy Spirit telling him, if you want ever want to see your wife and your children again, go and return that money. He was leaving, he was in his car. Say, they've given you money. If you ever want to see your wife and your children again, please go and return that money. The guy struggled for a short while. He tapped the driver, said, oh boy, turn. Drove back to the church. Thank the pastor very well. Gave him the money, he gave him back. Oh God, God bless you. And went home. Now, because you see, God loves that man. Abimelech took Abraham's wife. God showed up at night and said, you're a dead man. If God announces your death to you earlier, just know that God loves you. And he's asking you to repent. That's why he's announcing your death. He said, you're a dead man. Abimelech said, for what? He said, you took a prophet's wife. He said, it doesn't matter. You're a dead man. He said, God, you know I normally wouldn't. He said, that's why I have come to tell you. Now go and restore that man's wife. All right? So if God comes to announce to you that you're a dead man, it's because he loves you. A lot of people, God is tired of them. He won't say anything. He's tired. If you like, don't repent. People will preach and preach to you. Please, I'm talking about this stealing thing. It's not just the man who takes money that's a thief. The man that took the master's money or his talent, his gift, the thing that he entrusted into his hands and did nothing with it, according to the instruction, according to what the master wanted him to do, that fellow is also a thief. Or let's use a more, you know, reasonable, a kinder word. It's an unprofitable servant. I don't know how many of you ever saw that movie, Unprofitable Servant, by Manzaya. It's a very beautiful movie. If you can lay your hands on it, they released it around 1990. All right? It's not recent at all. It's the first of their, it was a play, then they made a movie of it. It's very beautiful. Titled The Unprofitable Servant. Everywhere they would do the play on stage, people would be crying. You know, I thank God for the gospel that makes us shout and makes us excited. It's good. Right? There are different sides to God. Bible talks about the many-sided wisdom, the manifold wisdom of God. All right? But there are times people really need to sit down and cry. And believe me, a lot of people are pure, unprofitable servants. God committed a gift into their hands. They've done nothing with it. And the first thing I want to explain, all right, is the fact that they have reasons for it. But those reasons, that's why you must be instructed with the word of God. They are not good enough as excuses for why you shouldn't do what God called you to do. Number one reason people have these days for burying their talents and forgetting their gifts, it's fear. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? And where we do shall we be clothed? That's number one. Look, in today's day, the number one reason why people forget their gifts and bury their talent is what I have said. It's what shall we eat, what shall we drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed. A brother walked to me many years ago. Then I was a senior registrar in Luth, doing my postgraduate training as a pathologist. A medical doctor, younger, a junior one to me from University of Benin. He made a statement, and it was the answer I gave him that I never forgot. He said, I would like to be a pathologist also, and I think it's a very nice course. Very interesting. He said, but how much money is there to make from it? And I remember answering him. I said, the place you put money is a place where God cannot be found. I said, if in your decision-making process, money, material gain is the first thing, then know one thing for sure. God is not number one consideration. And you can't help it. You will miss out on God's agenda. I said something to us the other day, that does God call people did God call Joseph? Go into Egypt. I said, he didn't have to shout in Joseph's ear, go into Egypt. No. All he needed to do was teach Joseph concerning what is right to do. Be a diligent worker. Don't sleep with the boss's wife. You know what I'm explaining? Those are the two things we saw him demonstrate. In Potiphar's house, we saw it. In the prison, we saw it. As long as a man obeyed the basic truths that he had been taught by the word of God, God will lead him to where he's supposed to go. Do you follow my point? Number one reason why people forget their gifts and bury their talents, all right, is this issue of what we shall eat, what we shall drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed. Let me say to you,
You know, I said something before that, you know, that's on radio. I'm talking about sin. I said the way most of us were taught, all right, as young people concerning sin, it's good, all right? We learn some fear of God, it's all right. But you see, the truth about it, all right, is deeper than what we generally think. That when we talk about sin a lot of times, you know, we think it's a matter of morals, or whether we'll be caught or will not be caught, or whether God will be angry or God will not be angry. Do you follow my point? I said people don't understand that it's like you go somewhere and they serve you food, and while you are watching, they pour paraquat. How many of you know what they call paraquat? It's a weed killer, which kills human beings too. Okay. They put a potent poison. They are sprinkling cyanide as salt on top of food. And they keep the food there. And you are discussing, should we steal or should we not steal the food? Should we eat or should we not eat? Is that what the discussion is? I mean, it's not hidden. You saw the bottle labeled that is laboratory grade cyanide. The type that by the time it hits your mouth, you are dead. And they sprinkle it on the food as salt. And you are discussing, do you think God would be angry if we ate this food, seeing that it was not given to us? Do you think Pastor Banky would think it's a matter of stealing? Let's think about it for a moment. What if we take a tithe of this food and go and give him as an offering? Will he bless the food before we eat it? You know, God won't even stop you. He said, this boy is so stupid, let him die. Even if God said, the angels, stop him. The angels say, Baba God, why are you bothering? This guy is deserving of death for stupidity. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is what sin is. It's a what? Poison. You know, I've meditated a lot these days. I have realized that, look, people should understand sin is not about somebody's going to catch me. Or somebody's going to be angry. I'll tell you what it is. It's about Satan having the ability and the effrontery and the right to enter into my house. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. That's what it is. It's not, will somebody find out, will God be angry? There's one guy who finds out all the time. His name is Devil. He has what? The power of death. You know what he does? He uses sin as the excuse or the means. When the Bible says, don't give room to the devil. That's why I'm angry with the gospel of deliverance. You need deliverance, you need deliverance. Most of the people I have seen, listen, that carry away, you know, 72 ways to handle 65 dangerous demons. The people have not departed from iniquity. I know I'm digressing. I just like to chip those things in once in a while. That's why I have never understood why the people beg people, come to church now. Just come to church. You'll be surprised that you will like our church. My wife used to wonder what was wrong with me, whether I'm very wicked. That is, even Bible study here. I always used to tell her that I only owe people one thing. And that's to inform them that they should come, that I'm teaching. As to persuade them to come, I say, I don't understand. That Igbo man has a saying, come chop, no become walk. You know that Igbo proverb? It's come chop, it's not come and walk. So why should I be begging you? Please, oh, the food we are serving there is fantastic, and we're not charging you a dime for the food. I have never understood it. Go and check the Bible. Nobody starts begging sinners. Please now, repent. You repent, it's good. It's good. You know, God will be very happy. Angels will rejoice once you repent. The man will say, if the angels are crying, how does it affect me? The angels will rejoice when you repent. So, let them cry. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. But what would they say? If he agrees to repent, they say, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. People will even come to repent. John the Baptist said, look at them, they have come. Who begged you? Huh? Who begged you? You can't they fear. I just say you did tough before. You for wait now. Because the axe is right now laid at the root of the tree. And it's a new brood of vipers. Who begged you to repent? In fact, I'm not baptizing today. Come back tomorrow. That is when Peter will finish preaching. People will come and say, please, what must we do so that we'll be delivered or that we'll be saved? What am I saying? And that's digression. I just want to use that to paint a picture so we can apply it, all right, to something else. When we are talking about gifts and talents, all right, and callings and gifts, it's not about making God happy. I don't know whether I understand my point.
It's about giving your life meaning. It's about following purpose. Listen to me. I have studied again and meditated, and I thank God for this opportunity to be teaching the Word of God regularly. It causes me a lot to contemplate. I watch TV. I like news, current affairs, what's going on in the world. The one that's my current preoccupation is I'm trying to understand the current economic crisis in the world, and I think I'm getting to understand it. What am I trying to explain? I look at all those things. I have meditated through life, and I have discovered that most of the problems in life are given just for distraction. Most of the attractions in life are given purely for distraction. I don't know whether you follow my point. That is, you think Satan is stupid? Look, one truth that the Lord taught me from His Word, all right, is that anything Satan offers you, just know that you are worth much more than that. I don't know whether you understand the point. For example, you're a young man. You go to school. Your boys, your friends, now discover how they will leave school and become very rich. Join a cult or something. How much will you make? They say, in our lifetime, you should be able to make up to 25 billion naira. Just know you are worth 250 billion. I don't know whether you understand the point. That Satan only begs for precious lives. Go and read the Bible. He said the adulterer hunts for what? Precious lives. That's what she hunts for. The adulteress. That's what she's hunting for. Precious life. Satan, look, he's not stupid. When he walked up to Jesus, he said, bow to me, I'll give you everything. Ah, just know that in that case, Satan, you're a nice guy. You have given me a sense of what I'm worth. So at least now I know I'm worth much more than everything. You know, I told her, I teach on people, you know, economic empowerment and all of that, but I never forget to tell believers, a richest man in the world doesn't validate your life. I don't know whether you understand my point. Being the richest man in the life doesn't say anything about your life. After all, if Jesus had bowed down to Satan, you know what he would have become? The most powerful man on the earth. And believe me, I dare to say most of the most powerful, you know, like, let's take 10 most powerful people on the earth that we can see. All right? Especially in the area of economics, you know, financial power and all of that. You will find out that 9 out of 10 were made by the devil. Look, you say, Pastor Banky, are you angry with the rich? You should know me, I'm not. Let me tell you the truth. The fact is that Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many, 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 many are flowing on that particular path. What am I trying to say? Most of the problems in life, they are distractions. Listen. Let me say it to you again. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. That's the word of God. It's a matter of fact that I would rather trek into eternal life than ride the best aircraft and miss God's purpose for my life. It's a matter of fact. It's not just spiritual talk, you know what I mean? Church talk. Praise God, isn't God glorious? You know, you really don't believe it. They're just saying something. No, that's not what I mean. I really mean it as a matter of fact that a man's life indeed does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. And what are the practical things? Don't ever change your values because of what you are going to gain. That's the practical thing. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? That's why, you see, you've heard me talk. In fact, I've said this several times. A lot of people hear me talk. They think that banking is saying, people, you must never go abroad. I never said that. Because the missionaries that came down to Nigeria went abroad. I hope you get my point. What I just said, which I keep saying, is that money must never be the thing that's driving you up and down. I believe absolutely that at least Nigeria as it is today has as great opportunities as America has. It has greater opportunities than Britain has. That's my assessment. I don't know any European country that can offer you the amount of opportunities Nigeria can offer. Opportunities, forget. The societies there are very strict, you know, strict. The door is not very wide open. America is a place that has the doors. I'm talking on natural plane now. Do you understand my point? Uh-huh. But I'm saying also, talking that natural plane, I have observed it. Nigeria has opportunities, crazy, plenty, everywhere. All right? But that's not even what I'm talking about. What am I talking about? I am saying that let me stay in Nigeria and be poor
and being the center of God's purpose, using God's gift to effect. Do you follow what I'm saying? God's call for my life than go to any other place and be rich. No, I don't want to do that. But I'm saying if you follow God, you know, that's what I first established. That listen, don't let the love of money drive you up and down. No. Because it's a matter of faithfulness. See, this is a matter of life. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. This is not just about this is good though, it might help you. You also can make money in Nigeria. You know, we talk and people think that's the point we are making now. That's one of the points. I believe that, but that's talking on natural plane. There are countries where it's very hard to make money except God specially channels special money to you. I don't want to mention names. There are countries that they look like the curse of God is upon them, my God. That's on the natural plane. No? So Pastor Bango, we should avoid such countries. No! They need liberation. Do you get my point? They need liberation. There are people that God has appointed that they will be the liberators. They will be the one to break the hold of poverty upon that nation. Do you get what I'm saying? If you see life like that, listen, look, you know, I always say that, stop asking questions like, should I go or should I not go? I said, that's not the point. You should know what to do. What the Bible says that this is the aim, all right? The aim of the New Testament is this, that no one will say to the neighbor, know the Lord. Know what that means? That each person will so understand God, when he gets to a crisis point, he knows what to do according to his knowledge of God. That's what we are saying. You get my point? That is the fact that you don't need to come. Pastor, please pray. Should I go to the left or go to the right? If I was the one, I will pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, as if I want to do you wickedness. All right? I want to make you look very stupid. Father, in Jesus' name, as your son is trying to decide to go to the left and the right, show him whether I should go to the left and the right. Amen? Amen. Open your eyes. As I was looking, the Lord said, as we were praying, the Lord said to tell you, if you don't go to the left, you go to the right. And if it's not the right, it will be the left. You go look me like, Pastor, what have you now done? I will ask you two, what are you doing here? Do I look like somewhere this year? If I say this, you surprise some people. Those are not New Testament practices. You'll be going to a pastor to be asking, should I do this or do that? I'm not saying it's wrong to ask for counsel. And that's why when I'm counseling people, I talk on principles. And that's what counsel is. Do you understand my point? You will talk. Number one, if people show up at my door, you know, they just come, please want to see Pastor Banky. Anybody you see, if you ask, if a listener catches you, you won't see me. Say, what is it you are looking for? They won't counsel. Say, pastor doesn't counsel anybody. There and then, my friend, get away. And if you manage to run away from him and come to me, as soon as you say counsel, I say, my question is always, have we met before? No. This is our first time. We'll be meeting on radio. No, I mean, have we seen face to face? He said, no. In that case, sorry, my guy, I can't counsel you. Say what I said, because it means I have to preach all my sermons to only you. It must be very important too. I'll carry all the sermons I have preached. What I do, I say, come. Israel, yes, sir. See that guy. He will sell you all the MP3 CDs. Recommend. Say, what's your problem? It's marriage. Very good. You know the CDs to recommend for him. Go and listen to them first. Now, you know the reason? Because I can't give you instruction on what to do and what not to do. But I can teach you the way of the Lord. All right? Out of Zion will flow forth the law. Do you get my point? That is, I give you God's order, God's ideas, the way the Lord thinks and expects you to think. His ways that are higher than natural ways. You learn them. So, you will see two identical, what seems identical to two people. Alright? But then, when you look at the facts, alright, that's in the lives of two people, you see the facts, they are slightly different. But because each person, all right, has the mind of God, they take two completely different decisions. But when people are looking at it from outside, they'll say, but you said this person should do this one. You said the other person shouldn't do this one. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? That's what I mean. I don't counsel people, go here. No, that's not the point. If you understand God, all right, under different circumstances, you know what to do. You will know what to do. That's why, look, I don't understand Christians. We're only looking for prayer. Do you understand? What I'm saying is that, see, what you need is not just somebody bless me and let me go. Now, blessings are very good. All right? I believe in it. You come, especially if I know you, and I know you have been chopping truth. You understand my point? You have been obeying truth, and I can testify. I'm very glad. We will join hands and we will pray. You will kneel down, I will lay my hands with joy in my heart. I will ask God's blessing upon your head. But to say you could just walk out for road as you like life,
When it's time for crisis, you show up for prayer. Listen, my friend, those prayers are ineffective. They're only good for leading you to repentance. Please, I hope you are following the point I'm making. What am I trying to explain all of these things? See, let's look at this thing. It's not just about whether God is happy or whether life is good or whether I'm gaining something. We are talking about the reason why you were born. Don't forget that thing I said. You know, remember what I said before I go back to what I said before? I said the number one reason why people miss the call of God, why people bury their talents, okay, and forget their gifts. The number one reason is what? Fear. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? And wherewithal shall we be clothed? What I was referring to earlier, I said that there was a day I was at home and my mom and I were talking. She asked, "That your private practice, how is it doing?" I said, "That one, mommy, I closed it long ago." She said, "Why now?" I said, "I don't have time." I said, "Ministry work takes more than half of my time. The rest of the time I dedicate to the other things that I do. I teach in a university, more than one university actually. And I consult in a hospital that's where I work." I said, "Between those two things, my time is finished." I said, "Private practice, I don't have time for it." And she said, "But ministry doesn't pay you money." And like I said, she wasn't criticizing or making me see sense. She was just making an observation. And I answered, and I believe that answer, well, it was inspired by God, yes, but not a special inspiration. It's based on truth. He said, "My reins doth instruct me in the night seasons. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel." Do you understand my point? So it's the word that has been stored inside that came out again and spoke up. I said, "What shall we do then?" Those were my words. What shall we do? We say because of it's not paying, we will not do the thing, the very reason why we were born. I told my mom, I said, "This is why God allowed you to have me as a child. So what are we going to do about it?" That's what it means to be a born servant. Listen, I think Christians, I'm begging you, from today, stop doing things for God, saying, "God, I'm waiting you to give me back. God, you know I've sown a dangerous seed. I'm expecting a dangerous harvest." That's childish talk. It was good for a season. I'm instructing you now, grow up and stop being silly. Jesus said, "This is how servants of God behave. They will come and say, 'Master, we have finished the one we have done. After all, are we not unworthy servants? Is there any other thing we are supposed to do?'" Listen, Pastor Banky, but you say you believe that God will bless you. Yes, that blessing is on his own. I found it on his own. I don't know whether you understand my point. It said, "Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream." I believe that one independently. Do you get the point? I was reading a book, one of these daily devotionals, was it this morning or yesterday? And I got to a page, I said, "No, I don't agree with this, sir. Who wrote this? I don't agree with this." He said, "Things that the Lord taught us concerning giving. Number one, we should give expecting to receive something." I said, "I don't know where you saw it in the Bible." In fact, the only one I saw is "give expecting nothing in return." Do you understand my point? Listen, there's a deep look. I don't know why do I always keep. Okay, I think I know why I keep going back to this thing. It's because of the prevalence of wrong teaching. I say that boldly. It's because of the prevalence of wrong. The word is W-R-O-N-G. Wrong teaching in the body of Christ concerning the doctrine of giving. Most of the things we teach around, they are very wrong. That's why I find myself going back there all the time. It's a matter of what? Faithfulness. Christians are supposed to be what? Faithful. Faithful. We are supposed to be faithful. Christians are supposed to be faithful. We are supposed to do things for God with no strings attached. However, God has promised. Are you getting my point? God has promised. He said, "I have not asked the children of Israel to serve me for nothing, but I promised them a reward." He said, "But you must do that willingly and in obedience before you get the reward." Grudgingly is waiting to get something. Willingly is that if I perish, let me perish. "Though he slays me," Job said, "yet will I trust him." That was what Job said. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make here?
Let me sit down my main message. Talking about forgotten gifts and hidden talents. What happens, you see, there's something about, let's read this particular spiritual principle to us. The book of Romans chapter, Hebrews chapter 2. There's a spiritual principle I just want to bring out from here. Talking about these forgotten gifts and hidden buried talents. Verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 2. It said, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Or if you have a King James or some other translation, it said, lest they slip away from us. You notice that? Things tend to slip away when we forget, when we don't give them attention. Anything you focus your attention on, all right, those ones tend to be magnified. But the ones you neglect, eventually they tend to slip away. That was why Paul wrote to Timothy. He says, stir up the gift, all right, that's in you, which entered into you by the laying on of hands of the elders and by prophecy. What does that mean? The Holy Ghost said, I like the way he said concerning Paul and Paul and Barnabas. He says, separate for me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work that I have called them to do. It was as people were ministering to God and they were fasting. That was prophecy. It wasn't as if the elders decided that this is what you will do. No. But during ministration, somebody spoke a word of prophecy, which was in exact accordance with God's plan for the life of Timothy. Except that for a long time, Timothy did nothing about it. Are you following my point? As man of God, I was reading, I think it was Ken Hagin. He said something that one day the Lord spoke to him, I think in a vision or something. And he said, what are you going to do about the gift I placed in your hands, I think 12 years ago? Did you hear what I said? How many years? 12. And the man said, well, I really wasn't planning to do anything about it. really, he wasn't planning to. And then the Lord said to him, you have to, or else. Or what? Else. And he said, I have fallen into some of his else's a number of times. And really, I don't want that to happen again. God placed the gift of healing in his hands. And the man was, he just forgot about it. So after that, he began to do healing classes. He started teaching on healing alone and laying hands on the sick. That is, he had in Rhema Bible School, they have healing classes every day. He will go there, he will teach. At the end, he will pray for the sick. He will lay hands on the sick. Because there was a gift that was placed in him, but he forgot about it. And after a while, you tend to forget about it. If you forget about it. I don't know, do you know what I'm saying? If you don't pay attention to it, you will forget about it. When I'm writing sometimes, you know, I write a lot. At least I used to. Anyway, you'll get where I'm going in a moment. Sometimes work is plenty. And when I'm writing it, the thing is like fire. In fact, you know, the time I was away for about a month when I went for a course in the US, that was when I wrote this book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. The first 2 weeks I was with my brother-in-law. Last 2 weeks I was all alone because he had traveled. I was in his apartment. He had traveled and come back to Nigeria. And in 2 weeks I finished the book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, working only in the evenings. I used to go to work to the hospital where I was doing my training. I used to go there morning till, in fact, around 4 o'clock. I used to be the first to close after they're not paying me money. So what is it? I'm not a licensed American practitioner. I'm just here to get some training and some observership. So once the afternoon bus starts running, I just pack my bag. See you guys tomorrow. You guys are working for the money here. Me, I'm going back home. Because then, I could close early. Now, I get back to the house, maybe around 6 o'clock, you know, I will sit down and write till 12 midnight. 12 midnight, I will check. It will be 6 a.m. in Nigeria. And I pick my phone, call my wife. And we'll chat for like 20 minutes. By that time, she's waking up. So we'll chat for like 20 minutes. Then she'll hang up the phone and go and get the children ready for school. Then I'll go back to sleep. I'll go to sleep. Next morning, I wake up, go to work, do my shopping on my way back, enter the house, and literally I'll just sit down there and start writing. Get my point? When my brother-in-law was going to leave, I was using his computer initially because I didn't go with mine. I had planned to buy another one. But I wanted to buy a Dell, and it was difficult to buy the very type I wanted.
My credit card wouldn't work because they wouldn't accept a credit card that's not based in America or Canada, a place like that, or UK. So, and I had a Nigerian-based credit card. So, it was a bit difficult. But now my brother-in-law was leaving, and he was going with his computer. Do you know, I just walked straight to Second City behind. I thought about being alone for 3, 4, 5 days without a computer. 2 days before he left, I went to buy another one. I didn't need it though. I just rushed. I used it only for those 2 weeks. Just 2 weeks. And when the thoughts used to read the book. I don't know whether I'm allowed to say it, but I think the book is anointed. I wrote it, you know. I thank God for wife and children. Amen. But those days when I was alone, choices key to destiny was a letter. I just sat down one day. I said to just write. I saw somebody going to Benin. I handed the person the paper. Give this to Ufoma when you get to Benin. After we married, I collected my paper back. I'm publishing to a book. Choices key to destiny. That's gift. What I'm trying to bring out is that while I'm there like that, this thing flows. But this is the interesting part. I'm writing. The way the thing is going, you hear me saying, look, I should finish this book by this weekend. There was a particular book I said I'll finish this weekend. That was 2 months ago. I haven't finished it. Do you know why? Suddenly, I go back to work. Distraction. And the anointing just went, shh. Anytime I pick the book, I have to start reading from the beginning again. And I get my point. That book is bigger than, in fact, the volume I have written is bigger than Great Faith Can Be Yours. Much bigger than it. So anytime I pick up the book, I start again reading it from the beginning so as to get into the flow. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to explain. I have to start reading again so I can get into the flow. Except that by the time I enter the flow, time don't go. I have picked that book to complete it up to 5, 6 times. I said, no, I have to take a break again shortly. That the anointing of the writer might return. Do you understand my point? Yeah, there's a different anointing when I'm writing and when I'm speaking. Two different ones. Now, what am I saying? I'm using that to explain something. When you neglect something, it tends to just slip away. Gently. 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 That is, if I thank God for recorded messages and the fact that one can, you know, write things down. There are things maybe these days, right, I'm feeling anointed. Like, there's a truth I just came to understand and I begin to teach. Then one day I pick a book or something I wrote like 7 years ago. And I said, the truth I began to understand, I wrote 7 years ago, but I've forgotten. I thank God for the gift. I know I like to put things down. Many things that I got to understand, all right, I will have totally forgotten, except that I put them down. I'm just discussing my own gift. Do you understand my point? I'm explaining that when you neglect something, they tend to just slip away. They just gently drift away from you. You may even forget that you know about them. There's a man who used to call me when we first started doing radio broadcast. And that's what I talk about, the danger of prosperity. There are certain prayers, if you pray for people, they think you are being wicked. If I say, if maybe what people want, they want to say, this year is your year. Everything, I say, good, it's good. I know, I believe that it's a year of manifestation, but there are people that you should pray a prayer for. May God not bless you until the time is ripe. There's a reason I'm saying so. There are some people that have been begging for a job, and God has refused to give it to them. You have queued, you have prayed. They say anoint. In fact, how to anoint your application is what you don't even know, so that you don't stain it. I don't know what you understand what I'm saying. So what you do is that you cover it with cloth and anoint the cloth, hoping it doesn't drip on the paper. And say, Lord, you understand, the oil cannot touch this paper. It's going for certification. So you quickly use the edge, take, touch the oil. He says, sow a seed towards this breakthrough. You wrap the money inside that application. And when they want to give offering, you shake it out of the application and say, Lord, you have done all kinds of things. God said, oh boy, this job you are begging for, the day I give to you, all your gifts, you will forget them. That is God, this boy doesn't understand. In fact, there are people who have gotten sacked. That God might give them time to remember their gift. The brother I said used to call me those days. I don't know how he got my number, but the guy who said, please, I hope you don't mind, sir. and I'll be on the phone talking with him for 40 minutes. I don't know him. If it's now, you know, I will mind. This guy will keep me on the phone for like 40 minutes. And what do we use to discuss? The only time I'm preaching, like, let me put it like this. It's as if I remind him of himself. I don't know whether you understand the point. Like, this is what you are supposed to be doing. But he works in a bank and he closes at night every day. New Generation Bank, he closes at night every day. And every day he goes to work and he closes. And anytime he tunes to Cosmo FM, those days it was only Mondays, and he hears Pastor Banky, problem will begin again. That, wow, this is what you are supposed to be doing. So he'll pick the phone and call me, looking for encouragement. What do I do? I say, oh boy, what do you do? I don't know, but I think it's what you can do. This gift must be exercised though. Whatever you need to do, make sure at least you have your weekends free and start work. Write a book. Gather a small group of people and teach them. Go to a church where they allow you to excite. Do something. He said, yes, I think what you have said is so correct. Yes, I will make sure that this year, believe me, that year passed though, nothing happened. Because you know the way it is. It's target, reconciliation, end of year, you know, this one. And every day will be passing. Let me tell you the kind of favor God does to such people once in a while. You'll get fired for nothing. You did not sin. You didn't steal. You have not been lazy. One day, they just post one woman to be your regional manager or something. And she just decides that you don't respect her. That is, you haven't done anything. Even you can't understand. The story I'd like to tell in that regard is Noelike Akanam. Faith Liberation Center Asaba. He was, he came to our convention to preach some years ago. Powerful teacher. He said when they offered him a job as editor of Observer in Benin, and he knew that it was time to enter into ministry. So he told them that, he said, he prayed and told the Lord that, let me just stay here for 2 years. At the end of 2 years, I will leave. 2 years, the job was sweet, the pay was good, he forgot to leave. 2 years, 6 months. 6 months after the expiration of his 2 years, the good Lord manifested. I know what he did. Miriam Babangida came to town. And they took a photograph of Miriam Babangida and they printed it in a newspaper. And somebody on the board decided that the picture was not complimentary. That Miriam would be angry when she sees the photo. So they suspended the editor. Like, what are you talking about? Maybe the woman was talking, you know, sometimes you're talking, they take a picture and you're like this. And nobody thought about it. They just stamped the picture, printed into the paper. And they said, what? What do you want Babangida to do when he sees this? You know, Miriam was a very powerful person. You know, the man said, what kind of nonsense is this? NUJ, Edo State Chapter, went to court. Miriam Babangida made the statement that, please, I have no hand in this man's death. If you know the years of what they say. She Pontius piloted on the case. Was the man reinstated? Who's I? He won the court case. I forgot to mention to you. He won the court case. But it's not now that Kutigi is the CJ. Those is a lot of nonsense used to go. You know if it is now. And they rule against you. Don't obey first. Let the man find out you're in trouble. But those days, the Lord knows how they're working things. Noelike Akanam said, he talked to himself and said, I know the root of all these things. It's not the board. It's not Miriam. It's not IBB. It's none of the above. What's the problem? I told the Lord I'll live here in 2 years. 6 months after 2 years, I'm still looking for how to live. Since I couldn't find a way, he has opened the door. The man just abandoned the whole project and went to Winners Chapel and became the director of Dominion Publishing, then became the head of the Bible School, and then before he finally left, and then came to start Faith Liberation Center in Asaba. That's what God does for people who He loves a lot of times. Now, so please, I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Now, so in that case, God just opened the door for him. But the point I'm making is talking about forgotten gifts and hidden talents. Number one reason why people forget, that's what I'm saying. And when you forget, you know, things tend to slip. It's very common in our society. Sometimes your parents they help you forget. Let me say this to you again. All right? Listen to this clearly. University education is an education. Did I hear an amen? Polytechnic education is an education. Did I hear an amen? Say it loud if you believe it.
Amen.
They are meant to educate you, not to give you money. There's no university degree that's passport to wealth. None. Are you getting my point? They are meant to educate you. They are not meant to make you rich. They are not meant to give your life direction permanently. Because a lot of you studied course. There are 10 different reasons you studied your course. I can start giving you one. Maybe when you were young, somebody said, ah, you look like an engineer. Why? You didn't use to iron your trouser. And that is it. Because you are such an irresponsible, you didn't use to comb your hair. They say you look like a scientist. You used to argue a lot. They say you talk like a lawyer. That's one reason. So they just lead you in the direction that has not, engineering has nothing to do with dirtiness of trousers. You know that. The madmen on the streets are not scientists, yet their hairs are not combed. Do you understand what I'm saying? You just wake up and yeah, we have an uncle that's a doctor. You say, ah, you, and you like him so much. You think the reason why you like him is because he's a doctor. That's it. He has given your life direction. And your father says, this is the way the country is going. This is where the money now is. So you go and do BSc soccer. Did you hear what I said? BSc soccer. Because Okocha is making money. Somebody said, ah, you want to buy football for your son? I said, for what? I said, because of money, it increased. We can buy football. Look, my boy will play soccer because it's good for a young boy to exercise. Do you understand my point? I don't care how much money Okocha is making. I don't give a damn. And peradventure, he wants to be a footballer. The way I will tell him is this. When you pass WASC, I buy you 10 footballs. When you get admission to university, I buy you a football field. It's negotiation. When you graduate, tell me a stadium is your gift. Because the chances are that by the time he graduates, he will have changed his mind. Do you understand? That is, I give the guy incentive to read. There was one man I was watching in TV. They made a movie about his life. All right? I heard he helped a lot of young black boys become important people. All right? He was a football coach, what Americans call football. All right? That was what he used to do, was a football coach. But he understood the problem of the American black boys. They know they like to read. Do you understand? So, his rule is that you cannot make it onto his team except you are passing. And if you enter the team, even when you are the best player, he benches you if you fail. So when they finish practice, he said, all right, keep the grades up. And everybody wanted to play for him because he was a regular supplier of young talents to the National Football League. And you know what that meant? So the man said, you are good, you are a millionaire. You know. So all the boys wanted to play for him. But the man said, no problem, you can play for me. Just make sure you pass. You fail one subject, you are out. So the boys, they will play during the day at night. They know they sleep. They go read. Because the man understood that, look, being a footballer, you know how much money Tyson made? Tyson made money, but the guy is still broke. He's poor. Why? Because he doesn't have education. He doesn't have wisdom. He jammed a Rolls Royce. You know what they call a Rolls Royce? The other day I was watching on TV that they made a small Rolls Royce called the Baby Rolls. And the Baby Rolls is bigger than a 7 Series BMW. A Rolls Royce that they sell for £250,000. He jammed one on a tree. As he came out, of course, police was there to check what happened. He dashed the keys to the policeman, take, and walked away. That's a crazy man. So this man understood that we make money for you, does not listen to me. It doesn't mean that you will do well with the money. MC Hammer was too legit to quit. You remember? Here comes the hammer. That guy was something else. The guy was making every album hit. The guy danced so much, he made Michael Jackson look lazy. Even Bobby Brown respected the person of it, yet MC Hammer was broke. Why? Because he has an entourage of maybe like 700 people. You know, those niggas are real niggas. Believe me. They won't go to school. They won't read. What am I going to explain? Look, you need to be educated. Look, it's not a passport for riches.
But you it's wisdom for life. Do you get my point? You go to school to learn life. When you go to school, it's not just to go and get a good grade and somebody can give you a job. No. I told the story of a lady who came to see me once. Said she didn't have a job. I said, okay, what do you plan to do? And I said, maybe she should go back to school. I said, look at you. You have a first degree. You have not made more. You think a second degree will make you richer. What's wrong with you? The more degrees you have, the poorer you're likely to become. So forget that one. You have been educated. I said, now let us now make money. Let me ask you, what do you know how to do? Use the skill of an educated, the mind of an educated person to do what you know how to do. There's a reason why I'm saying all of these things. Talking about forgotten gifts and hidden talents. Because one of the reasons why people lose their gifts, you know, somebody made them, you studied a subject that's not your own. The day you became a bachelor, you got your bachelor of law. Abi. The day they called you to bar, anyway, barrister at law. First day you went to the bar, you knew that this bar, except they are serving drink, I'm not coming back. You know you don't like it. But you cannot read this man versus this one according to this one for 5 years and 6 years and not become wise. It's not possible. You will have become wise. You can't go to school and spend 4 years reading history. They teach you political history, economic history, American history, history. At the end of the day, if you are still stupid, you have a mental problem. You will have become wise. So you have your degree in history, then go out and just be a wise man and decide, yeah, okay, now what do I like to do? I remember that I love to drive and transport people. So let me start my transportation business. Take some more money, buy one or two motorbikes with crash helmet, hire it out, and then you start building things up bit by bit. And then you are wiser than the man who didn't study history. Because you remember the economic history, all right? The American crash of 1929. This was what caused it, so it's not going to happen in your life again. You are getting what I'm going to say. That's what history does for you. But people don't understand. They look at certificates and say, no, I don't want to study history because the banks won't give me a job. The telecom guys won't give me a job. That's nonsense. Who wants anybody's job? I didn't want to give this as an example earlier, but let me just give this as an example. After I got married, of course, immediately after I got married, my wife started working in UBA. And then, of course, that was when I now came to, shortly after I came to Enugu. So, in fact, she resumed work. This is training in Lagos and came to Enugu. Let me cut a long story short. Anytime I see my wife going to work, those days, my God, I said, this will not be work. Especially when they moved that to counter. I said, this is not work. This is not work. I'm not saying banking is not a good work, but for this woman, it's not. I used to tell her that. Next time I come to this banking hall and you're frowning, I'll write the resignation letter for you myself and submit it without your knowing. You come to work next day, they say, but you resigned yesterday. Because I said, which kind of wahala be this? Customer will come with a frown. Why? I said, you should know that there are things you can't do. Let me not. Of course, after some time, she resigned and came home. And resigned to what? Nothing. She just resigned. Later, we'll find out what would. In fact, she resigned, started an MBA immediately. Just so that to keep body and mind fresh. You understand my point? But by the way, she finished the MBA how many years ago? 5 years ago. She has not collected the certificate till now. I paid money for the MBA. It was executive MBA. 5 years ago. Till now, the certificate is lying there. That business school near Apex Bank. It's still lying there. Why? Because I don't know why she begged. She finished it, graduated properly. Go collect the certificate now, tomorrow. Tomorrow is 5 years ago till today. Because she wasn't planning to use it for anything. All right? But this is the story. Yesterday, or 2 nights ago, I saw her sitting down, doing accounts, you know, doing her accounts, sales, what I bought. My wife loves to sell things. In fact, my sister-in-law said, she looked at my son, said, your mother loves you, otherwise by now you'll be on sale. Believe me, I looked at her, I said, my God, Father, I thank you for the spirit you give me. It will have been a terrible thing. Maybe by now, no, literally, her mates are managers, I'm not joking. You work in a bank for 10 years, you know you'll become manager, except something wrong with you. So I working there almost 10 years ago. I said, but for me, I would have felt very terrible. In fact, while I laugh for the house, because now grumble, fighting, grumble every day. But because I know, if I just telling myself, yeah, I'm just looking at her, having the time of her life, you know, sitting down, doing her sales, come back home, smile. Do you know what? Planning. Okay, this is what I'm going to do next. I will do this. I'll print my flyers. I get my office.
So this woman is really having, in my mind, you are really having a nice time. You have a BSc in accounting, an MBA, and ICAN, whatever it is. It does not make you necessarily a banker. If you really are not. What I'm trying to say is that if you discover that you have buried a gift and forgotten, or you have buried a talent and forgotten a gift, please, I beg you, go and dig it up. That's what I'm saying. I was watching one man on TV the other day. He's a comedian. He said he used to work in a bank that, just that according to their banking rules, he couldn't do his comedy. So, and then still continue his work. So, his guy decided that, look, this is what I really like to do. He's the guy who cracked a joke that really made me laugh. You know his joke. His joke was that, he said, he went to Iraq. Just want to make you laugh. He said he went to Iraq. And in Iraq, he wanted to sing. So, he sings. He has an album out. He said, somebody said, all right, give us a bass line. You know, they want to test the instruments. So, one guy came with a rocket-propelled grenade. Boom! He said, yes, okay, the bass is working very well. Oh, yeah, okay, they wanted to test the guitar. Somebody came out with an AK-47. So, yeah, that, the thing is working very well. And I was watching him on TV. I was on DSTV, all right? But you see, the point I'm making is that the man looked... Well, I'm not going to bring out an issue, all right? There are some... Life, you've gotten a degree, you found yourself in a particular job, does not mean you must bury your gift. Because that thing that God gave you to repair a particular degree of darkness that exists on earth is not just about which one pays more. I'm not a grumpy person, and I thank God for how much He has blessed me. Do you understand my point? But if you want to be rating which one pays more, if don't let me even say it, it's not worth saying. I was going to say that if I use the amount of money, time I spend doing ministry work to chase money, what if you chase the money, run into a ditch, and you get a depressed core fracture? You decrease. So it's not even a statement. What? Look, every day I thank God for what I have. I don't give a damn about what I don't have. Anything I don't have, I ask Him about it and I leave it. I look at my kids all the time. I take them and say, this is a blessing from God. My kids are very exciting children. Anytime I drive home, there's a way they greet me. Akinlu and, Benga and Omena will start jumping in rhythm. Daddy, daddy. They will be jumping. I say, hey, Father, I thank you. I can't quantify this in cash. I can't. The peace of mind I have at home, I can't quantify it in cash. Do you understand my point? Listen, because let me tell you something. When you leave gifts and callings and pursue fear of tomorrow, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, where will thou shall we be clothed, the Bible said that these are the things that men sought after and went through many hurtful lusts and pierced themselves through with what? Many sorrows. And many sorrows is not just a depressed spirit. There are all kinds of things that are called many sorrows. Sometimes it literally kills people. Are you getting my point? How do I know I buried my gift and hidden my talent? I want to close. I don't want us to be overshooting too much. Just give me 5 minutes and I'm out of here. Or, you are the one that we know. I don't know how you will know, really. But the Holy Spirit will witness to you, especially when you are present, all right, where the word of God is being preached. There are many people, that's why they don't go to church. Believe me what I'm saying. The reason why they don't go to church is that anytime they go, God reminds them, oh boy, you see, how about that thing now? Their conscience, you know, your conscience won't let them rest. Therefore, they avoid going to church. When we all success wants to start, they will tune off the radio. Because even if you are preaching about the second coming of Christ, all they are remembering, and let me talk as a preacher, is that God said to them, through different diverse methods, and they have a strong conviction many years ago that they should go to Bible school and start preaching the word of God. And listen, over the years, the guy has worked hard. He has made it. He's now an AGM in one big multinational. It's difficult to just work. Listen, I'm not saying it is easy. Just walk out of one fantastic pay. It's good for God to wreck your life when you are young. Did I hear an amen? And God destabilizes you thoroughly when you are young. It's good, though. They fire you. You're only 27. It's a perfect... God, perfect time. Perfect time to find direction. Perfect time to find direction. I remember one story. Somebody spoke... My pastor in Lagos was telling a story once. He said there was one guy... Listen, that in the company, he said how prosperous the company was. They had them maybe 50 members of staff, but they had 52 official cars. You know, that kind of thing. I've forgotten the exact figures, but to give you an idea, that's how prosperous the company was, and he was one of the top-level managers. So every day, the guy will sit down, and he knows what he's supposed to be doing in life. But they have paid him, taking his time,
walked him up the ladder. He's so high. He has a wife. He has about 2 kids who go to expensive schools. Are you hearing me? He has a lifestyle that's high up there. Every holiday, either in Europe or in America. But every day, he doesn't forget that this is not what I'm supposed to be doing. So he will lament to his friends, my problem now is how do I get out? That is why I said, look, don't be angry when God refuses to bless you, a young man, a young woman. It's a good time to find direction. Are you getting my point? That is a good time to find direction. And once you have found the right direction, then you stick with it because, you see, eventually, you see, I believe this very much. You can't be obeying God and he won't bless you. It's not possible. Eventually, listen, I said that my people have a saying that the child that doesn't die always becomes an adult. It's a profound statement, though it looks very obvious. Say if the child doesn't die, he becomes an adult. You can't walk with God regularly. The problem is that God doesn't do things in a hurry. But you cannot walk with God regularly in integrity, doing your business, moving your life, and God will not shower his blessing upon you. It's not possible. That's why David said, I've been young, now I'm old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken. I have never seen his children beg bread. Do you understand my point? So if you find out that you have forgotten your gift, let me summarize that in one or two sentences. You go and pray. You go and pray. Say, God, I want to do the works that I did at the first or that I was supposed to do. And then he'll begin to give you opportunities. Please, then you commence exercising your gift. Let me end my message. Your life was not created to be average. Are you getting my point? There are billions and billions of stars in the sky. All of them, they shine. Do you follow the point I'm making? So all of us can be outstanding in life. That's the point I'm making. All of us can be outstanding. All of us can be outstanding. There is something that you're supposed to do that nobody did before. At least, I'm not bragging, but it's just a matter of fact, alright? But I don't know how many people in Enugu were doing the kind of thing that I'm doing now. You come for a Bible study and nobody claps or sings, you just show up. Some people are so sure that this thing will soon turn to a church. 3-4 years have passed. 2003. This is 6th year. Alright, halfway through this year, it will be 6 years. It has not turned to a church. You are getting what I'm saying? There's something you're supposed to do also. The problem is that people have thought that anything I'm supposed to do is supposed to be the passport to immediate abundant wealth. I've said it before, if your gift, the exercise of it, is not giving you money, no problem. Ask the Lord, can I make tents in the evenings? Like Paul. But you cannot afford to totally neglect it because it doesn't pay. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. It is dangerous. It's dangerous to your mental health. It's dangerous to your spiritual health. It is dangerous to your physical health. It's dangerous to your life totally. There's this message I want to recommend as I close. Quench not the spirit. I preached this message many years ago. We have in our archive. Titled, Quench Not the Spirit. I give that to you as an instruction. Please, if you listen to me today and you were blessed by today's message, get that message. Quench not the spirit. I hope you've learned something today. Let me close my message here. I think I'll say what the Lord wants us to know. Let's begin to give the Lord.